I was sent a copy of a book in the post. It's called Into Extra Time, and it's written by Michael Paul Gallagher, and it's living through the final stages of cancer and jottings along the way. And I've been working my way through it very slowly and calmly, and it's just been revelationary. And I'm delighted to be joined by Father Donal Neary, who knew Michael Paul Gallagher. And Father Donal, you're very welcome back.
Thank you very much, Brenda. Delighted to be here.
Now, we should say that this book has come, and sadly, Father Gallagher has passed. So tell me a little bit about who he was.
Well, Father Michael Paul Gallagher was a Jesuit, and he was working in Rome for the last 25 years, but backwards and forwards very much to Ireland. Worked in UCD as a teacher, but was always very, very concerned, which the book goes into as well, about the whole area of faith in Ireland and the changing faith. And that goes right back to his days in university himself, but I worked with him particularly from about 1970 onwards, with workshops about, you could call it, the movement of faith in people and how it was changing. He had a very good style of writing, and I would say, for example, his talk and article called Atheism, Irish Style, in the Furrow and in Milltown Park in 1974, was a watershed article where he said the atheism of Ireland at that time was apathy, anger and alienation, not doctrinal. And so he worked on that level a lot with the people.
And how did the book come about? I mean, did the book come, was it here before he died, or when was the decision made to kind of publish his jottings and his diary?
Well, he came back to Ireland last January with cancer, third time of cancer, and he knew it was probably not going to go into remission this time. So he started writing, and we in the Messenger said we'd love to publish what he'd write. Darton Longman and Todd did so in England. And the book was written over the 7 months. And I'll just tell you one little thing. I was in with him one day. He's a great friend of mine. I was in with him one day, and he was trying to edit it, and we couldn't get the editing right on the computer. So I said, put it on a memory stick, and I'll do it when I go back. He did that, and then he just took out the memory stick, looked at me and said, that's it now. It's over. I'm ready to go. And it's something I'll always remember, and I was privileged to be at his deathbed, and we sang a few hymns and told him to calm down in peace and go to God. So he was a wonderful man in so many ways.
Mm. How old was he when he died?
76.
Okay, so relatively young. I think the older we all get, the younger 76 seems.
I know, that's very true.
Mm. And do you miss him?
Ah, yes, I miss him. In one sense, it's a strange type of missing that he wasn't around regularly for the last 25 years where he taught in the Greg in Rome. But he was back a lot. He always would give talks when he was back in Gardiner Street from myself. And he was always an Irish Jesuit, as somebody said, at the funeral mass.
Yeah.
He was attached to a community here. He's a native of Sligo, and he liked his Sligo roots. To a certain extent.
One of the things that has struck me as I read through this book is his acceptance of his fate and his how at peace he was and how almost unafraid and unpanicked he seemed to be as he was writing.
Well, there were times where he was like that. I just have one little quotation here. If we learn to die long before we face death, we're liberated slowly from the pettiness of ego. But faith gives these transformations a whole other context, part of a divine drama. He really believed in the little deaths we face regularly prepare us for the big one. And he had that peace. He also talked about the fog that came down a few times every day and left him wondering, was he alone? He always felt Christ was very near to him.
Yeah.
And that was something he shared with a lot of us over the time of his dying.
One of the pieces that I'm actually just at this part in the book where he talks about his packing up of his room and his life in Rome. And I found that very, very difficult to read.
I know, because he went to Rome and he threw out most things. He was a hoarder in a way. You know, you'd always find an old envelope in his room. He wouldn't want to buy a new one. He'd put a sticker over the address. So he had a pile of books, and he went to Rome and he just brought back one case of books. It was over. He was gradually saying that. There were bits of remission in the last few months. But he was very open, and he asked the doctor, please tell me now. And the doctors were very honest with him. He was able to take it.
And some people are like that. They want, give me the full facts, give me the big picture. Whereas the next person might say, I don't want to know. Just tell me what you think I might need to know and leave me, get on with it.
Very true. And he would be absolutely open and sympathetic to that way as well. He'd say, this was how I faced death. It might help you. Other people will do it differently. For other people, faith will not be as explicit. But I'm not going to hide my faith from you because of that.
Yeah, and that's what's beautiful about this, is that it almost gives you a blueprint of journeying, if you're told that you have that final journey to make and you want to do it in the context of your faith, or you're able to do it in the context of your faith, because not everyone is able to deal with an illness in the context of their faith straight away, because they feel sometimes they can't pray, they can't talk to anyone, they can't talk to God, and those sort of little scaffoldings of support fall away from them in the beginning and then gradually come back around.
They do, and he would never force them. He was a great man all the time with his students in UCD. Faith comes at its own time. Be open to it.
Yes.
And it may come in all sorts of strange ways. I remember years ago we'd be having dinner, and I lived with him in the scholastic community in Monkstown, and he would have met the most amazing people in the day, all with rather bizarre stories. But he would find a moment of faith in the middle of them all and would work from there.
Now, he hasn't just left us this book, of course. He's left a wonderful legacy of his writings and his jottings and his articles.
His first book that we remember well was Help My Unbelief, Veritas publication in 1982 or 83. And then we had Stages of Faith. We had Clashing Cymbals. And it was always about faith being very much a matter of imagination. He was interesting. He said, can I just say one thing here? He said, he studied in France for a year after UCD, and he said an insight was born. Most blockages to faith were on the level of freedom, not of truth, of being free to be open to faith. Latin America, a second insight was, in Western culture, lifestyles can block faith. And then modern literature was the third dimension. Human imagination is the space where faith is either starved or nourished. I don't fully understand that myself yet, but I'm getting it. And he was very much a follower of Henry Newman on that.
Did he leave you with any words of things that he wanted you to complete or do, maybe that he didn't get to do?
He asked that a friend would write the last few days of his diary, which is in this book. I wrote that as to how the last five or six days went, that where he was going in and out of a bit of a coma. When they got the pain right in the last few days, he was totally lucid.
Yeah.
But he was losing the power of speech and that. He left me a lot, a great openness to people and thanks. And I asked him for a blessing 3 or 4 days before he died, and then he said, bless me first. And I had some very moving moments with them.
They must be lovely for you to kind of have.
They are,
for,
yes.
For you. I know it's very kind of you to share them with, but it must be lovely.
There's some poetry in the end of his book as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Said, not something he had done very often, but he did it.
Yeah, and important to include it, I think, as well.
Exactly,
So the book is called Into Extra Time, Living Through the Final Stages of Cancer and Jottings Along the Way by Michael Paul Gallagher. And it's published and it's out there, and you're having a launch next week
We are having a launch on Tuesday evening in Belvedere College. And if there are people who knew him and would love to be at that, they're very welcome. We didn't do a paper advertisement because we wouldn't be able to do that. But there are some people who know him, and I don't know his circle of friends very well. He was a bit like that. He had a whole lot of university people I wouldn't know at all now, and I'd know another circle. People are welcome. Belvedere College, Belvedere House, Great Denmark Street, 7:30 p.m. for a service. And then the book will be launched by Father Eamon Conway in Belvedere House. And it's published in Ireland by the Messenger Office, and in Britain by Darton, Longman and Todd.
Okay. I think sometimes we don't maybe have enough out there on journeying with something like this in the context of faith. And I want to thank the Messenger Publications and yourself and, of course, Father Michael Paul himself for bringing it to us. So, Father Donald, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Brenda, and happy Easter. As he said to me once, I don't think I'll see Easter. And then he said to me later, I don't think I'll see Christmas.
Well,
he was ready.
He was ready. And I think this is a book of, there's sadness, but it's full of hope. And it's a gift to people maybe who are struggling with certain big questions and diagnoses at the moment. So thank you for bringing it into the light of day. And thanks, as I said, for being with us.
Thank you very much, Brandon. God blessing to everybody.